The dangerous gas pipeline from being constructed on their land without permission. They're going to be joined to respond to Minister Noel Dempsey's address on managing the future this afternoon at the Glenty Summer School. Now, one nun who will be there is Sister Majella McCarran. Now, she worked in Nigeria for 30 years ago and was involved in a campaign involving Shell there then. And she's on the line here now. Sister, hello to you.
Hello, good morning.
Did you think when you were in Nigeria facing this huge organisation there that you'd one day be in your own country doing the same?
Well, I guess Shell got a bigger shock than I did, because Shell would have been very uncomfortable about my contribution to the international campaign, which actually forced Shell out for the last 11 years out of Ogoni, which would be just as small and as powerless as Northwest Mayo is today. So when I came back to Ireland 10 years ago and I heard about this project in Mayo 5 years ago, I was delighted to be able to give my experience and to give hope and confidence that if the people over there are not happy with the project, they have every right to raise their voice and say no, and to have it listened to in a rational and logical way.
What problems did you face in Nigeria? Because whatever about Ireland, I mean, there are difficulties obviously politically there. So what problems did you face there, or were they facing?
Well, I think there's huge similarities, actually, because if you have a state that supports multinational business without examining very closely its impact on its own citizens, then I think the state can almost be described as acquiescing and, at worst, colluding with the multinational. And I would also say that, take example of Shell, when things go wrong, Shell will not intervene, even though in Nigeria they were a joint partner at a 60-40 ratio in due to Nigeria held 60%, Ireland just holds 0%. Shell will just wash its hands and says, whatever the state does, we do. For example, that's why the men are in prison in Mayo. The state gave compulsory acquisition orders to Shell to access these people's land. The people said no. Shell then went on to use the power given to it by the state to put an injunction, which led to eventually the men going into prison.
So you're sort of saying they can sit back and let the government do its work.
Of course, and let the state be keenly embarrassed. I would be very interested next Monday at the court case how they're going to get out of this one. For me, the satisfaction comes that once again the small people have negotiated power from very big players. At the moment, Shell wants those Rossport farmers out of jail. The state wants them out of jail. They created the situation that put them into it. How do they undo it without the state looking quite ridiculous and the legal system looking equally ridiculous?
So they don't want them in jail. It's embarrassing for them.
Absolutely no. But the men say no. They're not saying sorry, so they're not coming out. So they hold the power now. They've actually been able to negotiate and take the power from the state and from Shell.
Right. What are the similarities between what happened in Nigeria and what's happening here?
Well, anything to do with oil and gas, unless it is extremely well monitored, is a disaster everywhere it happens. I think we all enjoy the outcome of oil exploration and gas exploration. What we don't often have an opportunity to see and to examine is its consequences. Pipes carry oil, they carry gas. They leak and they rupture, even with the best international practices. You still, for example, the other day in Mexico, another pipe burst and killed a couple of people. So there are pipeline bursts and leaks every single day. In the Niger Delta, this happens all the time, and there's huge expanses of water in a delta area. In the bogs, you have Carramore Lake over in Rossport and several water courses where the slightest leak, the slightest rupture is going to taint the water, but worse with gas, it explodes and it burns everybody and everything within a couple of hundred metres of it. There are plenty of cases all over the world.
And why do you think we should worry in Donegal?
Well, I think that we have so far only dealt with onshore degradation and destruction. Nobody has yet asked what is happening out offshore. For example, a Mayo fisherman said recently that this year, for the first time ever in his life, the dolphins haven't followed him into the bay. So is the seismic testing and all the rest of it disturbing the ecosystem of the ocean? And that, it's hard to verify that, but it's very possible that that is happening. So, and every single animal and bird in that, we may laugh about it, but they're all so essential to the overall ecosystem in which we live. We need all those to exist as well as we do.
Now, you're going to be at the McGill Summer School this afternoon, aren't you?
Yes, I hope to, yes.
What are you going to say to the minister? Because, I mean, he didn't sign the dotted line on this. I mean, this is all previous ministers. I mean, these contracts are signed, aren't they?
There is such a fudge, deliberate or otherwise. For example, I cannot understand a project being split in so many phases and so many consents along the way. The state has either approved the project or not. A question I want to ask the minister is, why have you to sign 7 consents in the short lifetime of getting this project underway? I mean, if I was building a house, I don't think I'd have to go back to the planning board to ask, can I now put on the roof or can I put in the septic tank? And that's what this project looks like. And there is a little space between phases where it's very uncertain where the consent lies.
So what you're saying is, if they had all the planning permission, as it were, to put it in those crude terms, why would they have to keep going back for little...
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So that's a question I want to ask, because that's why the men are in jail.
Right, now, Mary, you would totally agree, would you?
Hello?
Yeah, you totally agree, do you?
I agree with what this woman is saying. I believe this government is bullying the people of Ireland into accepting what the men at the top want. I believe they're taking away our democratic say. They are not consulting us at all. They are prepared to sell our country down the river as far as these multinational companies are concerned, and these rich companies are concerned. And I believe those 5 Mayo men should have the support of any right-minded person within the country. I know for a fact that I will not be voting for this current government, and I really feel disgusted at the high-handed manner in which they are treating the people of the country of Ireland. Ireland is not a big, as big a country as the country this lady is talking about, and we certainly do not seem to have a say in how our country is run.
Okay, and on that note, thank you very much. Your line went a bit wobbly on us. Do you think that people power could work here in the same way that it has worked in Nigeria?
The wonderful thing is that it has already worked, because the people in prison... People, the power has gone to them, quite obviously, in the last few weeks. Down in Mayo, very small, non-difficult, non-obtrusive people protests on 3 locations where the work is going on has stopped all work for the last several weeks. And the local parlance is, well, until you let our men out, we'll not let you operate down here. We do not believe you have permission to do so, but we're going to emphasise that you don't. But you keep our men in jail, and we'll keep you out of activity.
No, you can't have anarchy, though.
Yeah,
but you also can't have anarchy. I mean, people believe in law and order in this country.
There is absolutely no anarchy. It doesn't take much effort to keep walking up and down outside the gate. And anarchy can also be on the state of the government. I mean, is it responsible? For example, it brought in 60 guards into these areas just last week. It reminds me tremendously of the internal security task force that was imposed on the Ogonis. I'm sure the Gardaí are holding a very sensitive line in Mayo, but I don't think there was a single incident to warrant upping the Gardaí numbers in that area.
So why would they do that then?
I don't know. Is that an act of intimidation? Maybe that's another question for the minister.
Is that one you'll put to him?
Yes, if I get the opportunity.
Okay, Sister Magella McCarran, thank you very much for
thank
joining
you.
Us. Okay, back after the break.